Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. We are into the second week now of February of this self-love month, I like to call it. And I've got all kinds of things going on this month, to help you, to help support you in loving yourself. So this week I have a BOGO promotion going on with hypnotherapy. So you can buy a package of three and get one free, or a package of six and get two free sessions. So why do hypnotherapy? Hypnotherapy for me is, in how I use it, is to introduce and connect you with your inner world of emotions that are stored in your body. It relieves anxiety, depression, and it helps you discover and remove barriers and blocks that are held in the subconscious that are keeping you stuck. Hypnotherapy is really a beautiful journey of relocating the truth of who you are, returning you to your essence, your deepest, wisest self. It's very relaxing. So this is one way you can give yourself some self-love this month. So if you are interested, take advantage of those free extra sessions that you get. Also, I invite you to join the new Beautiful Behavior community that I am hosting on Facebook, and you can find that link in the show notes. We'd love to see you over there. There's where I am supporting women and moms in navigating the challenges of relationships and parenting in a safe space where we can all support each other, because we are in this together. Okay, so this week's episode is with guest Christy Simons. And Christy works with teens, supporting them in gaining confidence. So this, in you'll hear Christy make reference to it, but this episode was recorded on New Year's Day, and it's a really great conversation. So I think you're really going to love Christy. And let me tell you a little bit about Christy. So Christy is a wife and a mom of two. She has a son, Hendrix, who's 3 years old, and a daughter, Beatrix, who is 1 year old. And after the birth of her son in 2020, she began imperfectly creating change in her life. And these changes, although she was making these changes for a better life, were met with many challenges along the way. Looking back, it's clear that the breakdowns she faced were necessary to reveal the breakthroughs that continue to help her on her journey towards living in alignment with what her soul truly desires to inspire others to and to inspire others to do the same. So as a certified teacher and holistic health coach, Christy's beginning to truly embody what she is really passionate about, teaching and sharing, healing our body, mind, and soul with practices that allow us to truly come home to our most authentic self. And Christy is also the creator and host of her podcast, Confident Teen. So I think you're going to really love what Christy has to share. And so enjoy this episode.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new week, a new episode of the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. And we have a guest today. So please join me in welcoming Christy Simons to the podcast today. Christy is a teen confidence coach, which I think is so needed in our world today, and we'll get into all that. But first, Christy and I met in a coaching community. And when I say that, we both joined a coaching program and we met inside the program, and we joined this program to do our own work. And now we are continuing to do our own work, but we're also exploring how we can support others in doing the work. And so, Christy, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then also how you stepped into this role of being a teen confidence coach. And I'm not even sure if that's the title or the identity you use, but you tell me.
No, I love that. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here with you today on New Year's Day, which is just, I feel like it's really, really fitting. And I'm so excited, especially just, you know, the name of the podcast being Beautiful Behavior. And you mentioned that we joined the same coaching community, but you had already been through that process, Diane. And so when I came in, you were actually one of my mentors, and you still are. And I feel like that's the beauty in everything that I see around me now, is just how, you know, the student can then become the teacher. Mm-hmm. And that is where the passion for my work really, really lies. So again, my name is Christy. I'm a mom of two. My son Hendrix is 3 years old. My daughter Beatrix is a year old. I've been a teacher for the past 12 years. And actually, just this year, I decided to go back part-time because I started diving into things that I was more passionate about, still in the realm of education. But I found that, you know, maybe just the way in which things are taught in the school system weren't really a fit for me anymore. And I say that because I feel like there are a lot of things that are lacking, supplements and different things that, you know, kids and especially teens really, really can benefit from learning. So a little bit about my story is, after I became a mom for the first time, I had a mental health breakdown. And I realized that that was because I had pushed down so much of the emotion that I felt in my teen years. A lot of that had to do with a sexual trauma, toxic patterns that I had in my life, such as drugs and alcohol. And again, just constantly numbing, rather than feeling. And so thinking back at that time and just all of the progress that I have made since the birth of my son in 2020, you know, finally stepping into my own journey of self-development and growth and just learning about things like emotional intelligence and all the things, right? How to step away from being the victim and instead the creators of our lives. It has just been such a beautiful journey, and it just all kind of like clicked together when I realized that, you know, the person that I needed most when I was a teenager was somebody like myself who, you know, would be able to go there to have those conversations, teach them about emotional intelligence, just different essential life skills, and just to hold space for them to have somebody that they can talk to, ask questions to, and all the things. So yes, essentially, that's like very short in a nutshell, a little bit about me and the work that I do now. And I like that teen confidence coach. I'm a teacher, a holistic health coach. I am an author. I'm the host of the Confident Teen podcast. And yeah, now helping teens on their journey of self-discovery as well. So very, yeah. Very excited.
And so I think that's why I called you the Teen Confident Coach, because your podcast is called The
Confident Teen. Yeah.
Yeah, The Confident Teen. So I just made up that title for you, Christy.
It's very good. Thank you.
I love that we have so many synchronicities. We were both teachers in the school system. Mm-hmm. And I too found that there was this piece missing in the school system, in the education arena. And I started to practice some of those skills in my classroom. And then actually started teaching them to other, you know, teachers. But, and I stayed to the point where I felt I could contribute to that. And then eventually left so that I could continue to cultivate these new skills in a new way. And that is in the home. With parents, with their children. So what I find, and you can talk to this too, Christy, what I was finding the missing piece was this emotional piece that you were talking about, this emotional intelligence. And, you know, one of my lines, I think is going to be for 2024 is emotions matter. I mean, it is essential that we learn to develop and understand the emotional part of us. And I think it's essential to mental health.
Yeah, 100%. I could not agree more. And I mean, I feel too that, I mean, that's just one void that causes like a ripple effect of so many other things that are lacking. Like for me, it was especially like that feeling like I always needed to be perfect at everything, thinking that there was only one way, like not seeing different perspectives and that like the possibilities for myself were so much more than even I thought, right? Like just all those limiting beliefs. So I like to bring it back, like you said, it's the emotions and it's also the thoughts that we're having behind that as well. And that for me is something that has just, it has shifted literally the trajectory of my life. I've done like a 360 in the last 4 years. Like sometimes I don't even honestly recognize the person that I have become, but I also know that, you know, that younger version of myself, that teen girl, that felt so lost, so alone, so isolated, less than, not good enough, and just not deserving, honestly. Mm-hmm. I can see her now and I know that she would just be so proud of the person that I have become and of the values that I have for myself now. And I just feel like, you know, sharing that with other people is so important because, you know, teens are capable of learning this much younger than I obviously had to wait for it to find me or for me to find it. But yeah, I just feel like it's such a beautiful life when you actually come to understand your energetic body and what emotions are and how you can, you know, talk to them, process that, and just really, truly see them as beautiful things because they are. That was another thing that it took me 32 years to learn, was that all the range of emotions need to be accepted for what they are and that they're actually all gifts, just here to teach us lessons. And that to me, I think was... yeah, it was one of the things that you said to me, and I better be able to remember it right now, but it wasn't, you know, what do these challenges, how did they affect me? It was more like, for what? Like, what was their purpose? Is essentially, I remember something that you saying to me in one of our coaching or mentoring sessions, and that just completely opened up a whole new world for me, is seeing everything as a lesson. rather than things are happening to me, they're happening for me. There it is. I just got it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, that life in our experiences or, you know, it is happening for us, not happening to us. Yeah, and I, you know, you say, oh, I had to wait 32 years to learn this. Well, that's what I think the beautiful thing is now is that is this is evolving to earlier generations. So for me, I was, you know, much older than that when I started learning about the emotional part of me and how that impacted and really drove everything, that all the decisions I was making, and I didn't even know it. And so, like you said, the thoughts that drive our emotions, that drive our actions, I mean, that's all of the inner work. And that's kind of what we're talking about here is we're doing the internal work to have a more fulfilled external experience. And that's, I think, what we're wanting to bring to even younger generations, right? That's what we're wanting to bring to our children. And I think that is the gift that we are here to provide future generations with.
Yep, 100%. I feel like every human on this planet has something that they are constantly in need of healing from. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it is so incredibly important, I feel like, to have the support and the tools along your way to help you navigate that. Otherwise, it can become overwhelming and you can just get very, very stuck in, you know, the same cycled pattern of the things that you do every day. And then when you're not growing, I mean, I just feel like that's when, you know, you don't get to experience those feelings of joy and peace and contentment and all the things. So
right. And I think it's so universal, that belief that I'm not good enough, right? That you had mentioned that, I mean, you know, so I think all of us really have that to some degree or another. And, you know, it all gets formed in childhood, not because we had, you know, bad parents or whatever, but, you know, we are so young and we don't know how to process a lot of those experiences. So we just make them mean something about us. And usually, you know, we get these perceived inadequacies. So what does confidence mean? So let's talk about that. You know, the Confident Teen podcast, the Confident Teen, what is confidence to you?
To me, and what I've noticed in so many of the clients, the students that I work with, it's just simply that belief in oneself that you are worthy, that you are capable of achieving literally, and some people might not believe me when I say this, but literally anything that you want in your life. Like, the potential is limitless. Does it take hard work? Does it take consistency? Absolutely, it does. But when you start to compile evidence that you are taking small actions each and every day to better yourself in whatever way that looks for you, you will start to cultivate that confidence, and you start to see that, oh my gosh, yes, I am able, just the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. For me too, honestly, over the past 4 years, and I'm always reflecting on this from a lens of my own life, but it was finally being brave enough to look at some of the mountains that I had in my life. So for example, I'm thinking of, this is just coming to mind, but like a lot of the sadness that I had, or a lot of the comparison, for example. So again, looking at those mountains like individually, and then I feel like once you start climbing up, you start to gain some clarity and you start to realize that there are limiting beliefs and stories in there and thoughts that you've been telling yourself that aren't even yours and that aren't even true. But again, we don't even take the time to be present enough to get to that clarity piece. And then once you have clarity, you keep going up the mountain. And then that's when I feel like you're at the peak of the mountain and you have some sort of breakthrough, has been definitely what I have experienced, again, on my own journey. And once you have this breakthrough, I feel like that's when you start to say, okay, how do I think about this situation? Like, if that's not my story and that's not the story that I want to have, like, I hold the power, as you teach us, I'm the creator of my life. I'm the captain of the ship. I'm in the driver's seat. So you start to ask yourself these questions of, you know, how can I, like, what do I want to do for myself? Like, what does this look like? Or what does it mean for me? Again, in terms of, you know, wanting to find more joy, setting goals for yourself, it can be anything. And then coming back down that side of the mountain, I just see it as like the integration, all the tools that can be provided from anybody that you have on your team to support you, to help you really step into that, to that new version of yourself. And then it just keeps going and going, and the challenges will always come. There'll always be mountains to climb. But once I feel like you have the tools in place to be able to navigate that, your life is, it's just, it's such a beautiful journey rather than one that you're just constantly a victim to. So.
Yeah. And that's what beautiful behavior is all about. It's really this journey of discovering yourself at a deeper level, discovering, you know, what the behavior of the people around you are really telling you, what it's communicating. But back to this mountain analogy, I love that you, because you said, you know, you climb the mountain, then you get to the top of the mountain. I was kind of waiting to go for you to, you know, let us know, is that it? And you didn't, you went, because I think a lot of times when we start this type of a journey, we think that it's the mountain we need to climb and then we get to the top and then that's it. Right now everything's good, like forever, you know, like yeah. Everything's, we're just gonna be happy forever. And I think also it's kind of our conditioning that traditional culture has us believing that if we get to a certain point, we need to do all of these things first, and then we get to the top of the mountain and ta-da, now we're happy. And yeah. I think a lot of us got to the top of the mountain. I mean, you know, to the fact where we, you know, maybe we had the education, maybe we had the family, the house, the what, you know, the job, the title, the money. And still yet, there seems to be something missing. And so I'm glad that you were able, you know, to say you get to the top of the mountain and then you have this clarity of, oh, okay. And then now that I have the information, what do we do with the information, right? We have to yeah. integrate that into our lives. And how do we do that? How would you say we do that, Christy?
Well, first and foremost, I feel that accountability is key. And again, always speaking from a lens of my own life, but also the clients that I have worked with and, you know, just some of the results that I've seen and things that have worked best for them. But that accountability and having just even like a dedicated amount of time, like if you organize your calendar in a certain way, like you could even, you know, slot out time for just for self-reflection, journaling, meditation. I mean, it honestly depends. I don't want to say that it's a one size fits all, but definitely those are some of the tools that have worked best for me. Definitely moving my body, making sure that I'm constantly just like flushing things out with, you know, drinking a lot of water, basic needs, good food, yeah. sleep, all the things, right? But we definitely just do need that time to really process what worked, yeah. what didn't. I love celebrating, like even with my students and in our community, when we do like our wins and then we talk mm-hmm. about the habits that, you know, we've really stuck to that we're proud of. And then if we have any asks, I feel like also a part of that integration process that is super important and that I feel even for myself has been a challenge over the last year is just asking for help or asking questions and not fearing that you're going to be judged for not knowing. That's okay. I feel like that was the biggest thing for me. I was so afraid to ask questions because I was like, how do I not already know this? But I feel like it's honestly truly a strength to be able to ask. It just shows that you're showing up for yourself, right? Asking questions to me is confidence.
Yeah, so. I think that is another synchronicity that we have, Christy, because asking is so hard for me. And it was exactly that, because I had gotten the message somehow that I'm supposed to know, I don't know, like everything. Like if somebody else knows something, I should know this. And you know, there's just this sense that I'm supposed to know things. And if I ask, I'm going to look stupid. And so that has been huge learning for me also, to ask for support, for help, but also just to ask questions about things that I don't know. And just owning that, you know, that was a big hurdle for me, was owning what I didn't know.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of hurdles, what just came up to me too, because I just want to make sure that I say this like loud and clear. You know, when you're at the bottom of the mountain, you're looking at something and, you know, you feel all that resistance coming up, all of that fear, like not wanting to actually move forward. That is also a very universal thing as well. Something that even after 4 years of being on this journey and, you know, cycling up and down the mountain over and over, constantly reflecting on the things that need more clarity and having those breakthroughs and integrating and then taking a little time to rest and then going back up again. But I swear the starting point never gets any easier, at least not for me. But I think it's just the repetition of doing it so consistently. And just knowing what the outcome is always going to be, it's worth it, right? Yeah, it's worth it to do.
Yeah. And I think that word consistency is super key. So, and also taking action, I think integrating, you know, the information that we have is taking action on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And taking what I have learned and has been so impactful for me is taking small action, like really small action. But you know, I think we're trained that we to take big action, because otherwise it's like, well, that's not going to be enough. Like, you know, but when we can take small action, we're more likely to be consistent. And it's actually the consistency that creates the change, right?
Oh yeah.
And also I like that you brought up fear. You know, I have had to partner with fear in my life now, because it had kept me stuck for decades. And one of the things that I learned in the program that we both are in is that run towards the fear, or do it with fear. That was the best advice I'd ever gotten, because when I feared something before, it stopped me. And so, you know, you get into this place in your life, I think, where it's like, I just feel stuck. I know there's more to do, but I don't know what else to do, because I was, you know, I was in fear. And so pushing through that fear, or just even partnering with fear, you know, allowing yourself to open up to it. And just, you know, I talk to all my emotions now. I talk to my fear. I talk to whatever's showing up. And so also I think part of this integration, and would you agree with this, Christy, that it's part of it is messing up too?
100%. So when you were saying that, what was coming to mind too was just the fact of, like, when you're confident, if you feel that sense of confidence, it doesn't mean that you can't still feel those opposite feelings. So although I do feel like I have cultivated so much more confidence within myself over the past 4 years, I still have moments of fear. I still have moments of doubt. I still have moments of you name it, right? Because I am human. But when those things come up, that just shows me that it's just another, it's a gift knocking on my door. It's something that needs to be looked at. As you said, you talk to your emotions. So do I. I'll just sit quietly. And I learned this from you. Just close my eyes, put a hand on my heart, and just try to feel first where that energy is in my body. And then try to, you know, get to the root of it. Because at the end of the day too, I believe that, and I loved how you said, like, partnering with your fear, partnering with those emotions that, you know, we consider bad or that we don't want in our lives, but they are signals. Like, they are so, so very important. So as long as we partner with them and we don't let them take over, because that confidence can get so deeply rooted beneath all of that. And so until you start to actually like excavate, now I'm thinking of my son with his excavator. But when you actually do, you start to like excavate some of those things that have piled up, the fear, the shame, the guilt, whatever it is, that confidence starts to be able to have room to flourish as well. And they can both coexist together. It's actually a really beautiful relationship when you start to see it that way.
Yeah. And so we can't just feel happy. We can't just feel, I don't know, all the desired feelings we want. We also have to feel the undesired ones, because they actually all work together. And that is so empowering. So what can we do as adults, as parents, to help our children grow confidence?
So this always comes back to the foundation for me. So again, understanding, you know, if there is a lack of confidence, what is the root cause of that? Not just trying to find Band-Aid solutions. I mean, I feel, and when I say foundation, first and foremost, it's really being able to create that connection built on trust and communication. And you know, if your teen, your child isn't, you know, the type of person or human that likes to express things verbally, like, they can always write them out. Again, I believe in the power of journaling. I think it is so important, but just allowing them that safe space to be able to express what's going on so that they can gain that same clarity, right? But also knowing that, you know, there's going to be opportune times and windows that you're kind of going to have to look for. It's not that they're always super open to sharing, and it can't be forced. You can't ever try to control, but definitely just letting them know that, you know, you're there, that they can trust you, and that you're there to support them in a safe space, or even just finding them the support that they need, can be so incredibly helpful. Because I often say to people, and this just comes back full circle to, you know, Heather being my coach from our community. Mm-hmm. And honestly, until I met her, there was no belief that I had in myself. So it took for somebody else to see in me what I couldn't see before I could see and believe it too. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. So Heather Chauvet is, the coach that we have worked with. And yeah. So we need, what I'm hearing you say is that what we can do is believe in our teen. Trust that our teen is capable of maybe even feeling these undesired feelings. Because I think I heard you say something really important, getting to the root of what, I'm not sure if these were your exact words, but getting to the root of what is the lack of confidence, what is creating that self-doubt, maybe even. Because I think as parents, we want our children to feel confident, and we do, because a lot of us know that we didn't feel confident, you know, and we say, I don't want my kids to feel the way I did. And so we want them to be confident. So I think sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is to say, oh no, you're great. You're great. You're super, you know, look at all these good things you do. And what we don't realize, I think, is that we're dismissing what they really are feeling, what they're actually experiencing. So I think what you said there was really important, getting to what they're actually feeling.
Yeah. It actually, you just made me think of my son. So he got a bike for Christmas. And over the last few days, we've just been trying to encourage him getting outside. I mean, the weather's been so beautiful too, right? But his bike has training wheels, but I can see it's interesting now too, to have so much awareness around so much of this, because watching him get on that bike and seeing the frustration, the tears, I mean, he really honestly wasn't going to fall over. Me and his dad were right there holding on to him, but even just to start pedaling, like, he was just, those, all of those emotions were coming up even before he started, right? So again, just letting him know that he was safe, that he could trust us. We weren't trying to push or control him. We were giving him the time and space, celebrating the win of him even just, you know, sitting on the bike for a second, but just allowing him to just, you know, be with those feelings and trying to figure out like, how can I, and if not today, then this was enough, but how can I the next time? And then having those conversations, as I said, just communicating with him and trying to help him to understand, because that's another piece that maybe I missed, but I feel often too. And again, this is because I just mentioned that this is all new to me as of 32 years old. So I often don't believe that our children and our teens even have the means, the vocabulary to communicate what they're actually going through. I didn't until I was in my mid-30s, right? So I feel so deeply that it's so important to surround them with people who can educate them, who can help them. I mean, getting the parents on board, having them do their own emotional intelligence, you know, seeking guidance for that as well, can be so very empowering for like the whole family unit, right? So that's also a really, really good place to start too. Just giving them that vocabulary, helping them to understand how they can express how they are feeling.
Yeah. And I will say too, that I was in my mid-40s when I started learning the vocabulary myself. And so I really want parents to hear this, that it isn't about that you should already know this. We don't know this. We are just coming to this. We are evolving into this now. It's not your fault if you are not regulating your own emotions. I was a yeller. I was an adult. I was a parent who did not know how to regulate my emotions, although I didn't know I didn't know that. And I think that's one of the best things too in this journey, that I am discovering and becoming aware of things that I don't know. And that's empowering. That's a whole nother conversation. But I think it comes back to that when we were talking about, you know, I should already know this. I'm afraid to ask because shouldn't I already know this? And I just really want people to know that, no, you shouldn't already know this. We weren't taught this traditionally in our traditional model. Emotional development is basically not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional intelligence didn't even come around until the 90s at all in the scientific world. So, you know, we're all just coming to this. So, and we can't teach our kids the skills, if we don't have the skills ourselves. So, right, we can't teach what we don't have ourselves. So, So I think this is such a great conversation and one to keep having, that, you know, just keep having these conversations about emotions matter. And I think the other thing is, traditionally we've learned that emotions were weak. So don't have emotions. So actually we're just flipping that script now. But Christy, how do you work with families? Do you work with their teen? Do you work with the parent? Do you work with both of them? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I work specifically with the child or teen. Originally, my program was very academic based, especially because I'm a teacher, and that seemed to be where a lot of the struggles, the overwhelm, the anxiety, all of that was coming from. So that is something that I still do provide within my services. But as I said, I have really started to add in those supplements for those voids that I feel like the school system is really lacking. The emotional intelligence, like helping them build those skills, getting that clarity they need, helping them focus on the goals that they have for themselves. We work virtually. Unless you're local to me, then I do take some clients in person. But yeah, I work virtually with my students on a weekly basis. They have access to me during the week. And yeah, we co-create the life that they want. And I help them to navigate the complexities of the teen years, because they come with so many challenges, but also so many triumphs, and all of it deserves to be celebrated. So I just love, love, love getting to be a part of that journey. Again, especially thinking back to my teen self, she would just be like, "You're doing what now with your life?" Right. It's just so cool. Yeah. It's so magical. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so again, I just think this is such impactful work that you do. in working with these teens and helping them to navigate their life. And yeah. So how can people find you?
Yes. So definitely head on over to the Confident Teen podcast. You can find it on Spotify and on Apple. And if you want to check out too, I co-authored in a book over the past year. It's called Body Bliss, The Journey to Body Acceptance, which is a really, really incredible collaborative sort of piece that was put together by myself and 10 other women. And that's a really, really great book if you're looking for something, especially around the talks of like body confidence. So highly recommend. And yeah, I'm most active on Instagram. So you can find me at Confident Teen Teacher. Yeah, if you want to reach out, if you have any questions, please ask, because asking is a strength. Yeah, I'm always an open book. And yeah, I just love connecting and having meaningful conversations with people. So that's where you can find
so
me.
So I will include those links in the show notes so we can continue this conversation over on your Instagram. People can go to your podcast. And thank you so much, Christy, for being here and sharing your wisdom with the audience here. And I really encourage anybody who has a teen to go follow Christy. And yeah, we'll just keep having these important conversations. Thank you so much for giving us your time today, Christy.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show or previous shows, I would so appreciate you subscribing and leaving a review. I am so grateful for all of you listeners who are joining me here for these conversations, because I believe it's through these type of conversations that we start to shift the paradigm, creating a more loving and compassionate world. I hope you will join me here each week as we discover new ways to show up in our lives and create a bigger impact. And if you are ready to take this to the next level, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. Again, that's dianesorensen.net. Get on my calendar and see how you can be supported and if we're a good fit, so that you can get out of survival and into thrival. Change is possible, and I've got you.